Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
I'm excited about the word that I want to share with you. We're talking about a strategy to go through trials and come out better. A formula, don't really like that word, but strategy, steps, or five things that we need to know, need to do in order to go through a trial and come out on the other side with victory. And here's what I know. You know, they tell you that if you're a good speaker, you tell people what is going on, and then you tell them what could happen. In other words, how it could get better. So pray for me. I want to do that every time I teach, every time I stand before you. And here's what is. We're all going through some kind of trial, right? I mean, emotionally, physically, financially, relationally, things have happened to us. Things have happened around us during this season we've all gone through the last 3 months. And we can either be bitter or better. Amen? We can either rejoice or regret. And so the choice is up to us, but we've always said things happen to us, but it's how we respond to them that makes the difference in all the world. So here's what I know. This is what is. Right now, it kind of stinks. I can't take him out to eat. We can't go out to a movie. It kind of stinks right now. You know, there's pressure on all of us like never before. Our routine, our schedule, our security has been uprooted that comes from the world, things like that. Our normal routine has been, you know, shot, you know, and kicked out the back door, right? But here's what I know, what could be. Life can be better. Things can change. God can turn it around. God can use it for our good. Come on, somebody. That we're going to come through this closer to God. Closer to each other, appreciating each other more. Amen. We're to come through this being better people, better leaders, better Christians, like the bishop said, more salt, more light. I sure love your amens. Ooh, that's like smelling pizza. It's just hearing your amens. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So here's what we're going to do. Let's go to James chapter 1. And verse 1, James 1, verse 1, if I could get it on the screen, guys, and let's look at it. James, he was a half-brother of Jesus, so, you know, he grew up around Jesus, and he watched Jesus, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, I want to extract one word. You pray for me as I teach the word today, because I want to resonate. We know what is. But I want to talk about what could be, how our life, how things can change and get better, how we can take what happens to us and turn it around and use it for the glory of God. He said, to those who are scattered. Now, when I read that, especially during this season, it made me think of church. We're scattered right now. I mean, we've been scattered ever since March, the middle of March. We've been scattered. The last person to speak in this pulpit was John Mason. Do you remember that? Way back in March. Okay, so we've been scattered, and you know, but here's what I know. I don't like that, but here's what I know. That's what is, and I don't like that. But you know what? I can change my perspective and see it through God's eyes. And what God says in His Word in the book of Acts in the New Testament, every time the church was scattered, it grew. Every time, read the book of Acts. Every time they were persecuted. Like you're being persecuted, opposed, and challenged, and we're all going through a test and a trial. But every time the church went through that, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ always grew. So I know what is. I don't like being scattered. I really don't. I know you don't. But yet, what could be? God can take this time right now, and He can cause your loved ones to come into the kingdom of God. They might be getting to the end of their rope. They might get to a place right now where their hearts are open for God, your family, your friends, your loved ones, your peers, your coworkers. And so what I want you to do with your pastor who loves you is let's release our faith to believe God that our church is going to grow during this time, that our online is going to grow. Go ahead, give the Lord a praise. that our in-person is going to grow, and our drive-in church is going to grow, and our missions and our outreaches. Let's believe God. If we have to be scattered, that's what is. Let's don't settle for just that. Let's believe God, that God's going to take that and turn that around, and we're going to grow through persecution, be a stronger church, stronger Christians, see our loved ones come to Christ and worship God with you, amen, or online. So that's good. And so the next verse, verse 2, my brethren, that means Christians. Do Christians have problems? Oh, yeah. My brethren, count it all joy. So if you weren't with us last weekend, it's all archived, just like our daily devotionals are archived. All of our services are archived, and they're free. How can we do that? Through your giving. That's how we make it free. So, my brethren, count it all joy. So, number one of the five things that we need to get through a trial and go through that thing, get out on the other side and be better and have victory. Number one, we need joy. Amen, church? We need joy. When, that's the first of the five, when you study the Bible, there's a principle in interpreting Scripture. It's called the law of first mention. In other words, when there's a list of things, the first one mentioned is the most important in that context. So in this context of going through trials and tests, the first in the list is joy. Now we know why the devil sends people our way to steal our joy. Now we know how the devil sets up our circumstances to steal our joy. Because he knows if he steals our joy, he steals our strength. And if we have no strength, we can't make it through the struggle victoriously. So the first thing that's the most important is joy. Can we all say joy three times? Joy, joy. When you fall into different kinds of, it says the King James temptation, but it means trials as well and test. So all of us are in a test today. All of us are in some kind of a trial, and all of us are being tempted in some way. So it's important that we understand now that trials do come to all of us because we're in a broken, cursed world. But watch this now. The devil wants to use the trial you're in today to get you to give up. The devil's making it especially hard for you right now to get you to give up. The devil wants to use trials to get us to quit and give up and stop standing. But God, I like the but gods in the Bible. But God wants to use that trial for you and I to grow up. I like that. So say it with me. I will not give up. I will grow up. Ooh, that's so powerful. So next he lists in verse 3, what's the second thing we need to know, the second thing we need to develop if we're going to make it through this thing victoriously? Know this. That the trying of your faith, so it's all over our faith, right? The testing of our faith. The devil uses trials to give us to give up on God, give up on the promises of God, give up on church and my relationship. He wants us to give up, so he makes it extra hard. But God says, I'm going to use it to cause you to grow up, and we're going to give the devil a black eye, right? So knowing this, that the trying and testing of your faith, look at this, worketh, here's the second thing, patience. So first of all, we need joy. Secondly, we need patience. Next verse, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect, what's that word? Work. Now there's revelation there. Pastor, I haven't had my coffee yet. I didn't have a cinnamon roll. Pastor, I can't wait till Debbie can cook those cinnamon rolls again. You know what? Me too. I think I'm going to have one. The first weekend we have one back. We'll throw a party. Amen. But let patience have her perfect work. Here's revelation now. Patience is not being passive. Patience is being active. I don't understand, Pastor. Some people think, well, just be patient. That means be idle. That means just wait. Means just sit on the couch and wait. Just get through it. No. Patience works. You notice that? Patience works. In other words, patience worships while it's waiting. Patience serves in the struggle. Patience seeks God. Patience looks for opportunities to be a blessing. Patience gives. Patience prays. Patience works. So notice, patience works. It doesn't sit idle. It's not retired. It's not in limbo. That's important. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the definition of patience, and then I'm going to show you why we need it, and then lastly, how to develop it. Sound okay? I think it's going to blow most of our minds because most of us think of patience, I think, incorrectly. Maybe we've been taught wrong. Maybe we've heard it wrong, or maybe we've interpreted it wrong. But I think I'm really going to shed some light by the help of the Holy Spirit. I think it's going to help us all, okay? So patience, if you're a note taker, is defined in the Bible as cheerful and hopeful endurance. Wow. Patience is a virtue, and virtue is developed in adversity. Virtues are not developed when I'm comfortable. Virtues are only developed in adversity or a trial. Pastor, can you say it another way? Okay, character can only be developed under pressure. Character is being developed in you and me in this time of mega pressure. So patience is a virtue. Patience is defined as, now watch this, I'm going somewhere. This is a test, okay? So I'm going to ask you to repeat it. That's what that means. Is that patience is cheerful, and hopeful, endurance. Cheerful, joyful, hopeful, endurance. So what is patience? Hopeful, endurance. Okay, so that means if I'm under pressure today, and I kind of think me and all of us are, if I'm complaining under the pressure, then I'm not in patience. Because patience rejoices. And patience is hopeful. Patience says, I've waited too long, I've worked too long, I'm close, I'm on the edge of my breakthrough, I will not give up. Patience says, I have high hopes, I have expectation that things are going to get better for my family, my marriage, my health, my money, my job, and my career. Oh, wow. That's what patience is. Now think about it. Nobody here in our church, but look at people who are impatient. They're critical. They're sarcastic. They're negative. They have no hope, no expectation. Just think of the people who are impatient. They lack joy. They lack joy. Nothing can ever make them happy. People who are impatient. They lack joy. Nothing ever pleases them. Nothing is ever good enough for them. And then also, they have no hope. They're negative. They don't think things can get better. They're tired of waiting. They're tired of standing. They're tired of the season and the struggle. People who are impatient. So patience then, proof that I'm impatient, is in the test, no matter how long I've been standing, I'm still rejoicing and I'm still hopeful that things are going to turn around for my good. That things are going to get better, that my breakthrough's coming, that Friday's on its way. Now, for us today, that wouldn't mean anything, but 30 years ago when I taught this, Friday was payday. Okay? So what it's saying is, Friday's coming. Breakthrough's around the corner. I've been standing for my marriage too long to quit now. And I'm hopeful and I'm cheerful that things will turn around for my good. And if God promised it, then God will perform it if I'll just be patient. And patience is not being idle or complaining or critical. None of that. It's being cheerful or in spite of the situation, joy. And it's being hopeful that no matter how bleak the media is painting our world, you and I are not of this world. We're citizens of another world. Come on, somebody. We have a spirit that the world doesn't have called the Holy Spirit. Praise break. Can we give a praise break across the street at home? Amen. So does that make sense then? Now, let me share this with you. I hope I'm helping you. This is so cool. So don't ever forget that. Patience is being cheerful and hopeful in your endurance under the pressure. All right? Now, okay, Pastor, I get it. But, Pastor, that's hard. I know it's hard. I'm an A-type personality. I'm a visionary. I'm a dreamer. I'm a person, naturally, that wants it done yesterday. I love microwave. I love drive-through when the speaker's working. What did you, can you read? You know, so for me, y'all pray for me, right? Because I have my nature without God is to be impatient because I want things done now and yesterday, all right? So I know it's hard, but if you're a Christian, you have patience. Really, Pastor? Tell my wife. Yeah, if you're a Christian, you have patience because patience is one of the 9 fruit of the Spirit. And you got the fruit of the Spirit when you came to Christ and you got born again. Well, Pastor, I can't feel it. That's because you're not exercising it, right? Watch this now. We all have biceps. Can we agree? Now, when I said this last night, nobody laughed. Please laugh at my jokes, okay? So we all have biceps, right? And I know you all wish your bicep was as big as my bicep, right? Please laugh at my jokes. Okay, well, how do you get big biceps? You have to exercise your bicep. Well, how do you get greater patience? You have to exercise the patience you've been given as a Christian. Okay, Pastor, I want to know how to do that then. How do I exercise it? Well, watch this very carefully. Patience is a virtue. Can we all agree? It's a character trait. It's a virtue. It's a character trait. And virtue and character is only developed under pressure. And we're all under mega pressure. But that's changing for our good. Amen? So patience is a virtue, but watch this now. It's actually made up of a composite of other virtues. You know, my granddaughter, Ava, she likes to cook. And, man, she cooks some really good stuff. And she'll put different ingredients into the bowl to make, you know, one dish. So patience is like that, kind of like one dish, but there's several kinds of ingredients that go in, material, if you please, virtue, if you please, that makes up patience. You still with me, family? Okay. So what is that, Pastor? Okay. These are virtues that make up the virtue of patience. We've already found 2, cheerfulness or joy, if you're a note taker. Number 2, hopefulness. Having expectation and holding on to hope. So the ingredients or the virtues that make up the virtue of patience is joy, it's hope. Number 3 is all biblical. The 3rd ingredient that makes up patience is thankfulness. Thankfulness. The more thankful I am for what I have, the more patience I have for what I'm waiting for. The more thankful I am for what I have, the more patient I am for what I'm standing for. So joy, and then we had hope, and then we had thankfulness. And then number 4 makes up a patience is self-control. Self-control. That's huge. Self-control. Those 4 virtues, those 4 material or ingredients make up patience. Y'all still with me, family? All right, so now let me show you real quick why we need a patience. Number 1, I'm going to go to the board now, and I'll work it, guys. We're going to find out why I need patience. Number 1, or letter A, if you're a note taker, for those of you that are home, hello, is to fulfill God's will for your life. Oh, my goodness. You and I cannot fulfill the will of God without the force of patience. Let me show you from God's word. It's in Hebrews 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin. And you know what that sin is here in this context of the scripture? Depression and discouragement. He said, let us lay aside the sin which does so easily get us off course. And let us run our race with, y'all see it on the screen, family? Let us run our race with patience. Ooh, we all are in a race. We all have a will of God for our life. God has a purpose for all of us, but we can't run this race without patience. Oh, I love that. We can't fulfill the race or the will of God for our life without patience. We can't get through a trial victoriously. We're all standing for something, a healing, a breakthrough, finances, our husband or wife to come back, the right mate to marry, the sale of a house, a new job, a new client. We're all believing for something. We're all standing for something. And for us to stand successfully in the struggle, we have to know how to develop patience. Okay? So that is so rich. For lack of time, we're going to buzz right through verse 2 and verse 3. And we're going to go then, number 2 or B. Why do we need patience? To receive God's promises and to have God's best. I want everybody that I pastor, I want you to obtain every promise God has promised to you. I want you to have God's very best. Without patience, see, we live in a world that wants instant gratification. And instant gratification will never bring me God's best. It will never, being in a hurry will never bring me God's best. Looking for a shortcut will never bring me God's best. I can just find that out through the study of scriptures. Let me give you a scripture in Hebrews 10, verse 35. It says, don't lose your courage then because it brings a great reward. So I want to say to everybody at home, everybody here, everybody across the street, hold on to your courage because God is going to reward your courage. Another word for courage is faith. He's going to reward it. There's a reward. So next verse, verse 36, you need to be patient. What do we need? I need a lot of things. You know, I need one of Debbie's cinnamon rolls right now. I need a lot of things. I need some Chinese food, right? Boy, y'all pray for me. I'm binging up here right now. I need a cherry Coke. Oh, praise God. I need a lot of things. But the thing, one thing I need the most to get through the pressure I'm under is patience. What is patience? Cheerful and hopeful endurance. It's made up of joy, hope, self-control, and thanksgiving. Oh my goodness. So do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For you have need, look what he says here. Again, this is what we need. No, Pastor, I need a new job. I understand that. No, Pastor, I need to see my dream come to pass. Pastor, what's happening right now is it looks like it's never going to come to pass. Well, that's why Pastor Kim prayed for us, right? Psalm 138, verse 8, we have a destiny. I know there are times it looks like it's never going to happen, but you hang in there. Hold on to hope. Hold on to the promises of God. Amen. Patient. Be patient under pressure. What is that? Cheerful and hopeful. Endurance. It's on its way. Things are going to turn around. Things are going to get better. So, for you have need of steadfast patience and endurance so that you can carry out the will of God and receive. Everyone say receive. And you can receive and enjoy what God has promised. So you can receive and enjoy what God has promised for the right husband, the right father, the right mother, the right wife, for your parenting skills, for what God has promised for us to receive it. It will take patience. And what is patience? Cheerful and hopeful endurance under pressure. Being steadfast and self-control while being opposed. Not giving up. Not giving up under the trial, but growing up under the trial. Am I helping anybody today? Well, I sure do love you. I'm so glad. And what do we need it for? To reach your potential. To reach your potential. Well, you are God's masterpiece. Did you know that? Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says you are his workmanship. You are his masterpiece. Wow. To reach your potential. Can I give you a car story? You haven't heard a car story in a long time. I have a friend, and he lives in Springfield, Missouri, and he restored a 1970 Chevelle for me, a convertible, LS6, 454, bad to the bone. And we made this deal. I traded some cars for it. And he said, "Now listen, Dave," he said, "this is going to be like on Chip Foose, on TV. This is going to be like those ones you see on TV that I'm going to restore it in a week." He said, "Dave, this is going to take 1 year." He said, "Every nut and bolt will be stainless steel." He said, "Everything will be undercoated." He said, "Every nut and every bolt will come off that 1970 Chevelle, and everything's going to be done better than in the factory in 1970. And then he said, "Are you willing to wait?" Well, what's that all about? For it, that car to reach its full potential, it took me being patient. For you and I to enjoy the car, the dream, the destiny, the goal, the picture, the future he has for you, great things aren't built overnight. Can we have a praise break? Let's thank God for our destiny, our potential. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. I like it. So it says here, "Moreover, let us be full of joy on Sunday morning," right now. I know some of you are watching me right now and you're hurting today, and I hurt for you. I know I look at the chat room, and please start a watch party. Please expand this ministry and the mission to help people know a God who's for them and discover the purpose he has for their life. I know many of you are hurting. Some of you have even mentioned, on the brink of suicidal. I understand that. But nothing changes until you change. Nothing changes until I change. Why don't we make the decision today that we're gonna resist the devil, and we're gonna receive God and make him first and live by what he says we are, what we can do, what we can have. It all changes when our heart changes. So he says, "Moreover, let us be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles." Can we say that? Triumph in our troubles. "And rejoice in our sufferings." And we're going through sufferings right now. "But know this, that the pressure we're under will produce virtue." It will produce patient and unswerving endurance. How cool is that? It's right there. Oh, I love it. Next, "and endurance develops maturity in" what? "Character." Say this with me. Character is being developed in my life right now. And God always promotes character. Ooh, I like that. All right. So how do we develop it? Let me give these to you in closing, all right, as the team comes out. How do we develop it? Now, I told you the materials that you need. Remember? Hope, joy, self-control, and thanksgiving. Let's work on our blessing list. What do you say? I know things have been taken from us, but let's thank God for what we have. Because when we thank God for what we have today, it releases a greater patience for what we're waiting for tomorrow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So how do we do it? We get the right perspective, or we have the big picture. I asked Jerry Savelle one time, and Dr. Jerry Savelle. I asked Brother Jerry, seriously, probably 30 years ago. I said, "Brother Jerry, what's the key to success in ministry?" And he blew me away, Jerry Savelle. He said one word, "Dave, perspective." He said, "Everything will rise and fall on how you see things. And make sure you always see things through the eyes of God." Ooh, I like that. Never forgot it. So you and I need to constantly realize, have the right perspective. And what is that, Pastor? We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. This world is not our home. Things are subject to change. What we're going through, this is all Bible stuff, by the way, is temporary. That you and I now are preparing, what? For the next world, the next life. Heaven is my home. My future is in eternity with my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister and my grandmother and Jesus. Amen. And my family and you throughout eternity. That's the big picture. Letter B, how do I develop it? B, just go right ahead, guys, and push it for me. Trust God's timing. Trust God's timing. Ooh, that's a hard one to do sometimes. Letter C, you guys can push it for me. Focus on God's attributes. Focus on God's attributes. And what happens? God gets bigger and we get closer to God. We're getting ready to have the staff, some of the staff, read a book called Practicing the Presence of Christ. This week, Daniel's going to have some on the staff. We're going to give the book out. It's called Practicing the Presence of Christ. It was written by a monk in the 1500s, a monk. So I don't agree with everything in the book, but Daniel and I said, I want some of our team to get this because it teaches you how to get in the presence of God. And this monk in the 1500s, he said, focusing on God's attributes. This is a monk in the 1500s, a classical book. I got to read it when I was in college. And he said, focus on God's attributes and God gets bigger and you get closer to God. Ooh, I like that. Next one, if you could, guys. D, ask God for grace and strength and his favor every day. And we know what is, we're under pressure, but we know what can be. God can turn it all around for us if we'll develop greater patience.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.